Our scripture lessons this morning begin with the Old Testament, Lamentations 3, 22 through 33. I'm reading from my Good News Bible today. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have, and so in him I put my hope. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him, so it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us, and it is best to learn this patience in our youth. When we suffer, we should sit alone in silent patience. We should bow in submission, for there may still be hope. Though beaten and insulted, we should accept it all. The Lord is merciful and will not reject us forever. He may bring us some sorrow, but his love for us is sure and strong. He takes no pleasure in causing us grief or pain. And our gospel reading for today is from the fifth chapter of Mark, Jairus' daughter and the woman who touched Jesus' cloak, 21 through 42. Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, and there at the lakeside, a large crowd gathered around him. Jairus, an official of the local synagogue, arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he threw himself down at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is very sick. Please come and place your hands on her so she will get well and live." Then Jesus started going off with him. So many people were going along with Jesus that they were crowding him from every side. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years. Even though she had been treated by many doctors, she had spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothes, I will get well." She touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once, and she had the feeling inside herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once Jesus knew that the power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "All the people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman realized what had happened to her, so she came, trembling with fear, knelt at his feet, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." Now while Jesus was saying this, some messengers came from Jairus' house and told him, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Jesus paid no attention to what they said, but told him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And then he did not let anyone else go on with him except Peter and James and his brother John. They arrived at Jairus' house, where Jesus saw the confusion and heard all the loud crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, "Why all this confusion? Why are you crying? This child is not dead. She is only sleeping." They started making fun of him, so he put them all out, took the child's father and mother and his three disciples, and went into the room where the child was laying. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I tell you to get up." She got up at once and started walking around. She was 12 years old. When this happened, they were completely amazed. But Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anybody, and he said, "Give her something to eat." That ends our scriptures for today.
Let us pray. But I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We don't have much of this around Ephraim, but where I come from in the city, there's a lot of standing in line, and I hate it. What I especially don't like is when someone cuts in front. That can lead to violence. I remember one Christmas Eve, I was out shopping. I don't do that anymore, but I went to a mall on Staten Island. My sister was with me, and the parking lot was jam-packed. And so we're circling, trying to find a space. And we got up to where somebody was pulling out, and someone came in right in front of us. Boy, was I mad. So then we circled and found another, and I could see a car coming. My sister leapt out of the car and went and stood right in the space like this. I wouldn't do that in Wisconsin with the concealed carry law. I don't think that would be smart. But she was bound and determined nobody was going to cut in line. It's infuriating when someone cuts in line. And I think of the story of Jairus, who is in absolute desperation. We know that he's desperate because he's the ruler of the synagogue. And the powers that be had already said thumbs down to Jesus. The common people loved him, but any of the religious types didn't like him at all. What does that say to us? Got to be careful when we're the religious types. But he was desperate, and he didn't care what anyone said. His little girl was dying, and Jesus was the last-ditched hope. He forgot his pride, his standing in life, and he raced to see Jesus, fell down at his knees, and said, "Please help me." And so Jesus agreed to come with him, and then he has a crowd pressing in. And I can just imagine Jairus trying to pull Jesus along through this crowd because he knows his little girl has very little life left. Cuts in line. And it was a lady who was not dying. She had a chronic illness. I don't know if she realized the desperateness of Jairus' situation, but she just grabbed a hold of Jesus' cloak, and she was healed. Now, that would have been fine, except Jesus stopped. Not only stopped, asked who touched him, and then went on to have a conversation with this woman while Jairus is standing there in agony because his kid is dying. Now, New Yorker that I am, I would have been tapping Jesus on the shoulder and saying, "I was here first." But I guess Jairus was a little more polite. And as Jesus turns, after his conversation with this lady, he turns to follow Jairus to the home, and messengers come and say to Jairus, "It's too late." And some of the more poignant words of the Bible, "Why trouble the master or Jesus any longer? She's gone." When do we stop praying? When do we give up? When do we say, "The prayer wasn't answered. All I see is hopelessness. Why trouble Jesus any further?" It's logical, isn't it? When you pray and your prayers aren't answered the way you would hope for, to say, "There must not be anything for me. There's death in my life. Why do I bother with Jesus? Why do I bother asking him for help?" And Jesus turned to Jairus and in those beautiful words said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." Believe what? It's done. Do you have hopeless areas of your life? Is there death in your life and you say, "I know that God loves me, but I don't think he can fix this." Jeremiah said, "God's mercy is new every morning. The minute the sun rises, there's hope." So Jesus brings only three disciples. I thought that was interesting. He wouldn't bring the whole crowd with him. He only brought three. He goes in, and by that time, the mourners have gathered. And they're screaming and wailing, well, for good reason. This is a terrible thing that has happened. And Jesus says, "Well, you don't have to be worried about this. She's only sleeping." And they laugh at him. And so he puts all the doubters out. He says, "Get out." He brings his disciples and the parents in that room, and he tells the little girl to get up. And she does. And then I love this. I think this might be Mark's sense of humor. He tells them all, "Don't say anything to anybody." Now, of course, it's not every day somebody gets brought back to life. I am sure the whole town and neighboring towns found out that this little girl who was dead was alive. The point of the story is that Jesus is still in the business of resurrection. And there is nothing in our lives that he cannot touch. Even those areas that we say are hopeless and dead. What thing have you set as beyond prayer. God's mercies are new. When the sun comes up tomorrow, you can return to him and speak to him about it. There is nothing beyond God's mercy. There are no prayers that are futile or useless. As we come to the Lord's Supper, if there has been death in your life, ask Christ to speak life. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that every day we can experience the resurrection power of Christ. And even those of us who have lost loved ones, who grieve every day, we have been given the hope of eternal life. For those of us who have situations at home that just are not getting better, that seem hopeless, we ask that you would again speak those words of peace. Do not be afraid, only believe. And as we come to this service of communion, that we might again be confronted with the living Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the insert in your bulletin, the Lord's Supper. We have an open communion in the Moravian Church. All who wish may receive the Lord's Supper. And you'll notice that we have two times of shaking hands. Now, we Moravians are a friendly bunch, but that's not why we do it. The first time is to speak peace to each other. We are signifying that we are one in the body of Christ. And we either shake hands, some of us give holy hugs, that's all fine. And then the second time is at the end of the service, we shake hands, but that's to challenge each other to go out. So at that time, we can even say, go out in peace, or go out and do God's work, or be sent forth, whatever it is that we want to say to go out, or maybe we want to do as the commercial and say, just do it. So please stand as we worship together with the Lord's Supper.